Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
The church, we have learned, is a functioning body. Like the human body, each member is important. Now, in the church, each member comes into the body the same way, and each has a distinct place or function in the body, just like the members in our physical bodies. This is clearly taught in the forepart of 1 Corinthians 12, as I explained from the Apostle Paul's writings. There were in the church also, in fact we can say there are in the church also, certain offices or certain responsibilities which Paul found necessary to define. And it is those that we wish to give our attention to. It seems in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, Paul aimed to help the members of the church to recognize order and leadership in the body. Not all members are the same. We can easily see that when we look at our own bodies. As he warned them about schismatic spirits, claiming to be of Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Christ, so now he taught them how to recognize the ministries in the church. That is very important. It was for them, and is very important for us. Now be sure to have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31 for the scripture lesson. And here is the word of God. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now let me guide you to understand how Paul analyzed the ministries in the body by several well-defined steps. Follow me carefully. Step one is, the ministries are identified. He tells us what they are and what their purpose is, in a measure. First, he said, there are apostles. They were a special group, the apostles. In fact, the word is used first in the New Testament in connection with Jesus when he sent forth the 12 in Matthew the 10th chapter. We are told that he called unto him the disciples, and they are named there. Let me read their names for you. They were named like this. First, Simon, who is called Peter. I'm quoting now from Matthew 10, verse 2. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. The scripture tells us, in Matthew 10, verse 2, that the names of the 12 apostles are these. That's the first time the word apostle is used in the New Testament, and it is used in connection with the appointment of these 12 disciples. We notice then in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, these words. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That would be helpful to us to understand the meaning of the word apostle. It means sent one, one sent with a mission. Here it is well described in the text I just read from Matthew chapter 10. Then I find that the word apostle is used 79 times in the New Testament. It is used in different occasions and under different circumstances. I also learned that the word is not used in the Old Testament at all. In fact, there's no equivalent to the word apostle in the Old Testament. There can also be false apostles, persons who claim to be apostles and are not. Paul, writing his second letter to the Corinthians in the 11th chapter, tells us about them. Let me read it for you. That's 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, which by implication they are not, inordinate claims. Second, then, there are prophets. This office is in the Old Testament, too. Prophets differ from apostles. The New Testament recognizes a number of Old Testament prophets: Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jonah, Joel, Samuel, Daniel. For example, when Joseph was contemplating whether or not to take Mary as his wife, an angel came unto him to console him and give him the assurance that he ought to do that. Let me refer you to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. The angel told him to take Mary as his wife, and when she gave birth to her firstborn son, he was to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now listen to this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. It was the prophet Isaiah talking about the virgin birth 700 years before Christ. So the word prophet is an Old Testament concept more than a New Testament concept, although it is used here. The prophet was one who foretold events. I know the scholars talk about the prophet being a foreteller and a forth-teller, but often in the Old Testament, the prophet is referred to as a seer. That means he could see down the corridor of time and see what ordinary persons could not see. I find, too, that the New Testament Greek word means one who foretells. One who foretells. Prophetes. The word is used nearly 150 times in the New Testament. So, secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. This is also a very interesting word. It is not used as frequently as these others in the New Testament. The noun is used only 10 times in the New Testament. I'm talking about the Greek word didaskalos. But it is a significant word. The verb form didasko means teach. It is used 34 times. It is interesting to notice that when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, this is how he addressed him. I'm reading now from John's Gospel. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. That is John 3:2. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So a teacher is expected to explain the truth to anyone who may hear. In fact, a teacher may be classified as one who says to the people around him, Here, let me show you. Let me show you. A teacher does more than tell. He shows. Then after that, we read in 1 Corinthians 12:28, after that, miracles. The word here is the word used in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. You shall receive enabling. The word translated miracles is the word for power in Acts 1:8. After that, powers. And then, gifts of healing, charismatic healing. Possibility of laying hands on people and they are healed. I say charismatic healings. Sixth is helps. Assistant. One who helps carry the burden. I just learned recently of a brother not far from us here in Pennsylvania who has what he calls a helping ministry to help people who need help. So here you have it. helps. Then governments. Governments, ability to control. Some people have that gift. They are able quickly to see the situation and give guidance. Actually, this word in Greek language is used for helmsman, a shipmaster. It is so translated in the book of Revelation, shipmaster, those who steer the ship and are able to guide it to its destination. Finally, diversity of tongues. It is good for us to take a careful look at that. Species of languages. We get our word species from the Greek word diversities. And tongues has in it more the idea of languages. So this does not necessarily refer to aesthetic languages, but the gift of mastering languages, various kinds of languages. So here we have 8 characteristics of ministries identified: apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues.
I apologize, my friend, but we need to break in at this part of Dr. Yoder's message. I want to quickly assure you that we will be airing the remaining part of this message during our next visit together. You see, these messages were originally aired on our 30-minute broadcast in the United States. Because of that, some of them are too long to be edited down to fit this 15-minute program. Because we want you to have the full benefit of Dr. Yoder's teaching, we've divided the program at a convenient point so we can pick it up again next week. So you'll want to be sure to be with us next week for the concluding part of this message. My friend, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the privilege of being part of the church, His body. Not a physical body. No, we're not talking about that kind of a body. We're talking about a group of persons bound together by two things: their common commitment to Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And as a part of the body, the church, you have a function. You have a task to fulfill. You are needed. God has a work for you to do. Now, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Now, perhaps you're a new believer and you have questions about what you heard on today's program. Or maybe you don't understand what you heard today because the Bible is an unfamiliar book to you. In either case, if you have questions, write to us. We'd be glad for the opportunity to answer your questions using God's Word as the basis for the answers. We want to help equip you to serve effectively in the body of Christ, the church, wherever you are. But we can only do that if you contact us. And here's how you can do that. You can write to us at Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your letter by email. We look forward to hearing from you. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15533. And that web address again is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now I invite you to join me next week. As I said, we'll be back with the second part of Dr. Yoder's message, Ministries in the Body. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.